Hey guys, this week's episode is brought to you by Grove Collaborative, who delivers all of your favorite natural home and personal care products right to your door. And if you sign up at grove.co/YHL, they'll throw in a trio of Mrs. Meyer's cleaners and a 2-month VIP membership. Again, that's grove.co/YHL. I'm John.
And I'm Sherry.
We like home stuff.
We like talking.
And we like the occasional game show sound effect. So welcome to Young House Love Has a Podcast, where we have deep and not so deep conversations about DIY, design, and life at home.
Today we're celebrating our 100th episode. How, you ask? Well, with the story of a plague that befell our house, a rant about front doors, and by popular request, a phone call with an extremely special guest.
We made it, guys. 100 episodes.
I need like an air horn. Blah, 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 blah. And then there's a battle rap.
Are you and I battling? Because I know who would win that.
I would win.
Yes, so.
Little known fact, guys. John can't rap.
You know what? It's not really known. I think it's an assumed fact. But yeah, I mean, it's a pretty momentous thing. Like, I thought after our first or second episode, we'd be lucky if we hit 10. So the fact that we are here 2 years later at 100 is pretty mind-blowing to me.
And I know what you're thinking. Is John still in the baby chair? And the answer is yes. The baby chair has lasted 100 episodes. Even though I have kindly suggested that John use a regular chair, he believes something about the baby chair is optimal to our recording setup.
Well, it's because you're so short. We're at the same height.
I mean, thank you for that.
But this week is also an exciting week for us because as you are listening to this, this is the start of our first full week staying at the beach house.
I know, it sounds like we live there, but we don't. We drive back and forth all the time.
Yeah, I think apart from like maybe a 3-night stay over a long weekend in November when the kids had a couple days off of school, I don't think we've spent more than just a weekend there.
Right. And that was 2017.
Yeah.
Like, we're not there for any sort of long span of time ever. And it's why DIY is kind of hard there. But this long week coming up is very exciting because we're planning big things like tiling a backsplash, perhaps.
Well, I don't know about that because we still have to buy our materials for that backsplash project.
Yeah, we have to get ready.
But, you know, the house was not done and able to have furniture until October of last year. So we had missed the summer season of being able to stay there. So any trips we took were basically when it was cold and we were only there for a night or two. So this week, in addition to maybe being able to tackle a longer project, is like the first time we kind of get to road test the house for a longer stay. Like, we will, for the first time, unpack our suitcases into drawers.
I know. Well, it's funny because we're renting it weekly, so it'll be interesting to see how it lives weekly, you know, like using the stove more.
I mean, at this point, we've only made tea and spaghetti on it because we really haven't bought much food for the house because if we're only there for a weekend, we're not going to do a big grocery shopping, so we've been eating out most of the time. So we will probably use the pantry for the first time, like in a more robust capacity.
Right. Right now, I use the pantry to like make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or like retrieve a snack from a drawer.
Yeah, so we're going to do like some legit shopping and see how it all works. So if you want to stay tuned on Instagram, I'm sure Captain Insta Story is over here.
That's me.
Yes, we'll keep you updated on how it goes.
I'm tipping my captain's hat to you.
I'm also just hoping that it will be nice weather and we can enjoy it as the beach town it is because things are going to be open. It'll be lively. Like, it's what we have been working towards.
Oh, I know one other thing I want to do.
What?
So hold me to this, listeners, unless there's like bad weather or some reason I can't. I want to pin down the mint color we're using on the duplex and I want to paint the front doors because the front doors are original. They have remained on the house. And I think that will be a big sign that the house is coming along as the siding goes up and the tin roof goes up and now the roof is shingled. I just think seeing that mint color on the doors, even without the mint shutters, because those are going to take like a month and a half to come in, it will just be an exciting, momentous time. So I'm hoping to do that in the week that we're there too.
That is much more achievable than the backsplash, I think.
Yeah.
The backsplash may have to wait for another week's stay. And also what's new with this week, well, not really new. It's a story we can finally tell without feeling like we're jinxing ourselves because school is officially out. And it's kind of a gross story. I know we had a gross story last week, but why not just pile it on?
Remember what we're doing to keep the deer at bay?
Yes.
This will also make you squirm.
Yes. We, a few weeks ago, had our first case of lice.
Right. There are four of us. Two of us got lice, and we've not had that yet, which is kind of amazing. I mean, when people are like, you have an 8-year-old and you never had lice, this is your first time. I'm like, yeah, so teach me what to do.
Yeah, we were kind of set into a frenzy when we found out we had it, because personally, I was having flashbacks to my bed bug issue that I had in New York City when I lived there in 2005, which I can still say was probably like my worst home experience ever. Like when I think about all the times I've lived on my own, that is like number one worst thing I've gone through, because this was before like there's lots of treatments and like people know how to deal with bed bugs. So we had a heck of a time getting rid of them. I had a big fight with my landlord. It was a whole thing. I have a blog post about it. I'll put in the show notes.
You were like treatment zero. What is that called?
Patient zero.
You were patient zero with bed bugs. John legit was calling people and they were like, we don't know how to deal with that.
Yeah. I'm like getting sweaty thinking about it now. So I kind of went to that zone.
John was like, burn the house down. We're starting over.
I wasn't quite to that. I was like, let's shave everyone's heads. Right. Shave the dog.
Right. Interesting fact. Dogs can't get lice or give lice. They have a different breed of things that doesn't like humans, and the human ones don't like dogs. So the dog is inconsequential in the equation. You just have to deal with it on the humans.
Yes. Well, I also point out that I learned that lice don't typically like men's hair. Something about our pheromones, and also if we tend to have product in our hair like I do. I mean, this coif does not come naturally.
That hair is not going to be awesome all by itself. Right.
Anyways, what we did, we were sent it to our frenzy, like I said. I think we threw a bunch of stuff in the wash, like on hot. We later learned that it's actually drying on hot that does a lot of the killing of the lice.
Get this, guys. Lice can hold their breath for 30 minutes. So washing them, they can still come out alive. But it's the high heat drying that like burns them.
That's a very nice visual. We also like threw a ton of stuff into the bonus room. It's kind of like a quarantine. Like you took every stuffed animal in the house and threw it in there, because we learned that lice can only survive for like 24 to 48 hours without human contact.
Right. Definitely not over 48 hours without a human host. So this wouldn't work if like one person was going to be going in and out of the bonus room. But if we closed the door on the bonus room, taped it shut and said, nobody go in there for 48 hours. Allegedly, from every pro we talked to and everything we read on like the CDC and all that, it's completely safe to then just like put the stuffed animals back in the bed. We still washed a lot of things because we took it as an opportunity to kind of reset everything. But it was an interesting fact to learn that like as long as humans aren't interacting with them, they can't remain alive for more than a day or two. And I guess it's like peace of mind, right?
Yeah.
Like just throw something in a room, close the door, don't think about it.
I took a picture of it through the glass door into the bonus room. So I'll put that in the show notes at younghouselove.com/podcast. So you can see how we literally just like hurled stuff into that room and we used backup bedding for the night.
You can tell from the photo that we were just freaking out and chucking things in there. Like yep. Things were not landing in a normal way. Nothing looked organized. But I was like, get all the lice in the bonus room and close the door. Like it was a blind panic.
Well, and to actually get rid of the lice on the humans in the household, we called in the services of a local company called the Knit Fairies. And you actually can get them to come to your house and check everyone out and give treatments right there in your house. So we did that because, again, we were just like, whatever it takes, we are going to get this issue solved. And they do like an all natural treatment, which I don't know the specifics of, but what is
it? They just comb it out. The point is you have to just get the nits out of your hair. And if they miss one, the nits will have babies and you'll have lice again. So like they have to get every single one.
Yeah. But don't they do like a rosemary spray or something?
They do. Something that kills the actual lice. But I've heard that nothing kills the nits except for removing them forcibly with a comb. And once they're removed, they're not going to germinate or whatever you'd call it. Like they're not going to turn into lice. So I think that's really crazy about them, that there's no shampoo you can put on your head that like kills the nits, and the nits will be lice. So the only way to deal with them is to get them out. And the reason we wanted to hire someone is I just wanted to watch someone do it so I knew how. So like now, if this ever befalls our household again, I can sit the kids down and comb in the right directions and section off the hair and do exactly what they did with confidence. My fear was I'd go through all the trouble without having a pro teach me, and then I'd miss just one and we'd like in 2 weeks be dealing with this again.
Right, because that's the thing that I was afraid of, again, going back to my bed bug story, was like when I had that, I went and had to wash everything and then I had to come like leave it in plastic in my closet for 2 weeks for fear that they were going to be sort of reinfested, because I guess bed bugs don't like crawling on slick surfaces. So if you put things in like garbage bags, they can't get to them. At least that's what I was told. Who knows if that's totally true?
That was back when you were patient zero. They might have found new qualities in bed
right.
bugs.
It was all these old wives tales about it. Like if you stand on your head, you're not getting bed bugs.
Right. Now there's like new mutations and they can just infiltrate anything.
Yeah. They've got superpowers at this point. But I was afraid with the lice that we would go through the trouble of like getting it out of the hair, but it would be on some rogue pillow that we miss somewhere in the corner and we just get reinfested.
Right. Like they said, it could even be in your couch. Like you have to lint roll and then you're supposed to Lysol your couch. And I am a person who does not like Lysol. I have a breathing issue when I'm near a Lysol. My throat constricts. My kids don't react well to Lysol. So I was trying to do things naturally, but also thoroughly, which is kind of a hard quadrant to be in.
Meanwhile, I drink Lysol for breakfast.
whatever. John's like more of a weaker link than me because he's allergic to DEET and aspartame. It's like his body knows what's poison and other people's bodies don't.
That's true. But what we learned from the Knit Fairy, she said a lot of people, what they do to make sure that they don't get reinfested is they just get a hotel for a couple nights. Because again, if they don't have a human host for 48 hours, they're all going to die and you'll be all clear. So that's where my head went immediately. But then we were both like, wait a second, why should we get a hotel when we have a beach house?
Right. We were like, wait, it's Friday and we can't send the kids to school with this pox on our family. So let's just get in the car early Friday and just go to the beach house. And when we return Sunday night, that's way more than 48 hours. And we're in the clear.
Yeah, so it was an unexpected trip that weekend. We didn't really have time to prepare projects to do, and it was rainy, so we didn't really get to go to the beach. But we like still found some things to do, like went to a museum or whatever. It was still a fun trip, even though it was unplanned. And we came back and so far have been totally lice-free.
Right. And to be clear, guys, you can't just go to a hotel for two nights and get rid of lice. They have to be out of your hair.
Right.
This is just getting them out of your, like, home.
Right.
So if your hair is clear, and they also said, oh, lint roll the car seats, make sure they're not in the car, because you could go to the hotel and get them in the car, come back and still have them in the car and bring them back with you. So there's a lot of moving parts to the equation, but it just was interesting to hear that, like, oh, yeah, just quarantine stuff. But it wouldn't work if, like, your husband was staying home to work for the weekend, because he'd still be the human host in the house.
Except they don't like men's hair.
Yeah, that is true.
And what if your husband's bald?
I mean, I've heard of eyebrows and eyelashes getting lice.
Ew.
In very severe cases.
Okay. Well, fortunately, ours was not severe. School.
Your beard could totally get lice.
No. I put product in my beard now. I keep it lice-free. So school is now out. We're hoping that keeps us in the clear for a little while. Everyone knock on wood for us. I mean, I guess if it happens again, at least now we won't panic because we know what to do.
Right. I'll just get a beach trip out of it. I'm going to the beach every time. I'm just dropping everything, walking out of the house.
You're
going
to start trying to seek out lice now.
I know. I need more beach time. Can somebody give me lice?
Well, next up, since it's our 100th episode, I think we need to do one of our favorite segments, which we call, Can We Just Talk About...
segment where we typically like to rant about something that bugs us or that we feel like it's misrepresented or misunderstood. And in this case, I'm giving a huge side eye to the state of front doors in this country.
Wow, that is a big category.
It's a big statement, right? I'm peeved because a bunch of you have seen me struggle to find these doors that have diamonds in them for the duplex. And I want two of them for the back doors. I just want a standard like 36 wide one. They're popping up all over on Craigslist. None in my area, of course. I've had one get driven to our house. More on that in a second. But it has been really hard otherwise to find the second one, and I'm dying for the second one. And the weird thing about it is going into this project, I thought I'll just buy two doors with diamond grills.
Yeah, I'll just order this from a company that makes doors because it's not a wild design.
No, everyone sees them everywhere. I would prefer a new door versus an old one on a rental so it's smooth and it opens and closes perfectly and is secure and all that. But it just is surprisingly impossible. First, I found one online. I did like reverse image searches an hour and a half in. I found one online and I called the company and it has been discontinued. So a bunch of people were sending me that and saying, just buy this. Well, it was like $1,000 and then it was discontinued. So not only was it super pricey, but it's not made anymore. But in my searches through doors to find the diamond ones online, the burning anger that bubbled up inside of me when I found the most ridiculous door designs, and yet they don't make this beautiful classic diamond door.
Yes, I think this is like the core of the issue, is that I would argue that the door that you're looking for is a pretty, like you said, classic design. What do they call it? A crossbuck on the bottom?
Crossbuck on the bottom. It just means it has an X in the panel. The wood on wood is shaped like an X. The top is called a half light. That's also a really standard door. It's just that the top half of the door is a pane of glass. And then on top of that, I am looking for diamond panes, which is somewhat unusual. But when you see what's on the market in terms of glass half lights, you'll lose your mind. Because guys, if you're looking for a fleur-de-lis, they got it. You want a flip-flop in glass? Got it. You want a dragonfly? Oh, a dragonfly on your front door? That sounds unusual. Nope, stock. You can get that in stock. But I just want diamond panes, which are allegedly on every house that all of our listeners are seeing because everyone's sending me pictures. They're on Family Matters, you guys. Steve Urkel walks in, diamond panes behind him. They're on Modern Family. That's a newer show, still there. These doors exist everywhere, and yet nowhere in the new manufacturing arena.
Well, I do think newer doors tend to have the grid lines kind of inset in the glass, you know, like our windows have right now. I think having the actually like individual diamond panes is an older style of construction that is harder to come by these days.
Oh yeah, but I would have bought it within the glass. I wasn't looking for super antique looking doors. I wanted just that pattern. And if they were within the glass, actually our diamond paned windows that we got for the duplex, they're within the glass and they look great. I just thought if I can find it in windows, surely I can find it in a door. And yet, nada.
I think what you're saying is that there's a call to action to America to just reel it in on the front doors.
Just reel it in, guys. I don't need a sunflower. I need a diamond. Maybe not a Texas longhorn when that's specific to a state.
Well, I think you're going to piss off a lot of Texans now because I'm imagining all of Texas has longhorn glass.
I'm just saying that is so specific and yet Home Depot makes it. But why not a diamond, which is a much more general shape than a longhorn?
I feel like there was a phase where these doors with oval windows in them with some sort of privacy on them, whether it was like a texture to the glass or like a stained glass or some frosting on it, was really popular.
They still sell them.
Oh, I know.
They're going strong.
But like, I would like to see this return to a more just like classic door, please.
Yeah, half light or full light. There's beautiful farmhouse ones with rectangles. And I just think there's a hole in the market.
Well, and speaking of this whole door saga, like Sherry said, you might have caught on Instagram that we were able to track down one of these doors. It was for sale in Philadelphia, which is about a 4 or 5 hour drive from us in Richmond. So we didn't really have an easy way to go get it because we'd have to take the car seats out, meaning we'd have to get like a babysitter for a couple days or whatever to go get it, not to mention driving 10 hours and possibly staying overnight. So Sherry casually on Instagram said, hey, anyone in the Philadelphia area coming to Richmond, want to bring a door with you?
Right. I was like, if you have a big car and you're passing through, I wasn't trying to solicit someone to take a special road trip. That's crazy.
But well, you might have been a little bit.
No, I just was like, if you're coming through and you got a big car. Because I know some people just are like road tripping to wherever to see their family and they have room. And then a lot of people, it turns out, said, oh my gosh, I'm going straight through to Richmond, but I have a tiny car or but I have my kids in the car and it won't fit. So there were a lot more people saying like, oh, it would have worked except blank.
I think you weren't seriously expecting it to happen, but you wanted to put it out there in the universe, so at least you tried, because you had eliminated so many options at this point, called so many different manufacturers and stores that you were at your wit's end, I know.
Right. I spent like a good 10 hours on this project, from calling different manufacturers, leaving voicemails, looking up grids, if we could snap a grid over the glass and make it look like a diamond. I just really exhausted all the options. And so I thought, it can't hurt to just put it out there on Instagram. And there had actually been like 5 or 6 other doors I found on the West Coast that just were not happening because of logistics. They were so far away. Nobody would be happening to drive from like Sacramento to Richmond with a big car.
Right. I'm taking a cross-country road trip and I've got room for a door in the back.
Exactly. So like I had put that out in the universe and the universe had said, no, thank you. Not going to happen. But I still was like, maybe this one that's in Philly is a little closer and someone's coming through and I'll just put it out there.
And then guys, the universe delivered us a hero.
Her name, Amy. Her game, driving a door to Richmond.
I believe as one person put it on Instagram, Amy is the hero we didn't deserve.
She's the reason that people believe in the internet again, which is high praise.
So after many requests, we are going to give Amy a call here on the podcast to get her side of the story and how she found herself becoming everybody's favorite person. Hello?
Hello?
Amy, are you there?
Hello, good morning.
Oh, yay! There you are.
We got Amy on the phone.
I am so excited to talk to you guys.
Oh, Amy, we just love you. I know we thanked you like 1,000 times in person, but now we're just thanking you also on the podcast. Everyone needs to know how much we love you.
This is absolutely crazy, but I'm so excited and so happy that you guys have at least one door and maybe more. Maybe.
Yeah, we think we're going to figure out the second one. We're putting out positive vibes and we're believing in miracles because I thought I'd get 0 doors. So the fact that I got 1 door is amazing. And I also want to give credit to this conversation to Instagram because people on Instagram basically rose up and they said, we need to hear from Amy on the podcast because she gives us faith in humanity and we need to hear from her about how the door came to be and sort of her perspective on the story. So here you are.
Oh, well, and you guys have the most amazing fans and just the kindest people in the whole world. And I'm so glad to give faith to humanity, but far beyond the credit that I'm due.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think you should soak it all in as much as you can.
That's right. Just take it and love it and own it. That's
right.
Well, I think, you know, people have heard this story from our side and how Sherry sort of doggedly went after these doors that were around the country. But we would love to hear a little bit more of your side, sort of like, how did this adventure come to be? How did you realize that this was something you could volunteer to do?
Oh, well, it had to happen. And it was really interesting, all of the different coincidences that worked out to make this an absolutely necessary trip. So, you know, after a long week, I knew that I was going to be taking my older daughter to a soccer tournament in Wilson, North Carolina. And I think you had posted, it may have been the night before we were to leave, that there was a door in Philly. And I work in Philly, but I live about an hour and a half from there. And I just kind of was like, oh, I should maybe, but I couldn't figure out how to make the logistics work. We had not prepared for any of that. But then it was the next morning and I was working from home and you had updated that it was in King of Prussia. And I was like, oh man, that's not very far from where I live. And then I came out of my office and I looked at my husband. I was like, I'm going to do something crazy. Up. And I'm like, no, this is crazier than when I brought home the two kittens unannounced and didn't tell anybody about that. Like, here we go.
What I'm learning, Amy, is you have a history, it sounds like.
I guess so. You know, I'm on a slippery slope, John. But what was so interesting about the whole thing is that usually our family travels in a pack. Like if you get one Fisher, you're getting four Fishers. And we knew that weekend it was just my daughter and I. And so I was going to have all this room in the car. And I told my husband what I was up to. He helped me arrange the car to get me down to King of Prussia and meet with this lovely family. And I descended on them in a way that I'm not quite sure they expected. I was like, do you know who's getting this door? This is so incredible. And they were kind of like, oh, wow, like, who are you? And please take the door and go away.
They're like, it is yours. Be gone.
Yes.
See, that's what I was curious about, that part with picking up the door, as to whether you explained sort of that it was going on a road trip, because I know I would have been too shy. I would have been like, I'm not going to give any details. I'm just going to take this thing and quietly leave. But I love that you told the story.
Oh, of course I did. I mean, Sherry, you talk about having zero chill. I took zero chill to an exponential level. I was beyond. And so they helped me load it in the car. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I have Sherry and John's door in the back of the car. If I hit some bump or this road is uneven because they were grading off the top layer of asphalt, and I thought, oh, we're in big trouble. So I was driving so carefully, like I had a new baby in the car.
Well, and I'll say, when I opened your trunk and saw it in there nicely padded and fully safe, I was like, oh, clearly Sherry has given Amy all the warnings she gives me whenever we transport things.
That's right. Well, we don't mess around. And Sherry had said, any door with glass, if it's on a flat surface, it may be more prone to break. And I assured you quickly, I'm like, you know, I'm married to a mechanical engineer who has turned an accountant, and anybody who knows him knows he is the overanalyst of all things. And I was like, there's no way that this door will not be transported exquisitely carefully.
It was just perfect. It arrived mint condition. John and I transported a mirror flat and we broke it, and neither of us knew. If you're moving glass, like a door or a mirror or a window, and you lay it flat in the car, it just shatters because it bounces. But if you tilt it up a little bit, or like shove a comforter or a pillow under the top edge and kind of tilt it, even at a slight grade, it doesn't do that.
Yes, this was the same speech I got when we transported it to Cape Charles a few days later. She's like, Amy got it here safely, John. Don't mess it up now.
Oh, I went inside and got like pillows off the couch and I shoved them under it.
Well done. How good that it got there safely, of course.
And then it even impressed our contractor, which he's very hard to impress. He does not impress easily. And he stared at it and he was like, it's very solid. This will work great.
Well, in Sean we trust, and I'm sure that the door will look beautiful once installed.
It'll be great. Well, now I've convinced him that it's so good we need to wait for the match, and it holds us up like 3 weeks on the back door, but he's fine with it. He's like, it would look nice.
The ironic part is, as you said, you were going to a soccer tournament in Wilson, North Carolina. Right now, there is a door in Wilson, North Carolina that's our strongest lead.
Oh my gosh, I totally should have stayed, and then I could have done door transport double ways.
If only we had known at the time. Apparently, it's on a barn that's getting torn down, and so we have to wait for the barn to get demolished before we could try to get it home here.
Well, you guys, Wilson is not too far from you.
That's yes. What I'm hoping. Road trip.
Absolutely.
Well, I think the most important question of this conversation is, what is it like being the internet's hero?
It's bonkers. Like, it's absolutely bonkers, but it is a total dream. And, you know, we've been friends in my head for a very long time. You guys have to realize this. And so to meet you in person and then to realize how behind you and behind this effort everybody has been, I mean, it really has legs. So I'm absolutely thrilled to be a part of it. And I would just say, you know, how fun when you actually respond and you think something's going to maybe make a difference. And it does. It's incredible.
Such a huge difference. And also, it was really fun to meet you because now we're text friends and we talk about things like Adam Levine together. So this is a true friendship forged by a door in the internet.
Oh, but you are so much more skilled at getting the Cardi rap down quickly than I am. I'm still working on it.
It was a gift I was born with. I can't really take much credit for innate talent.
Modesty, also an innate talent.
Well, thank you, Amy, so much. Have a good day.
Thanks, you guys too.
Bye.
Bye.
So once again, a huge, huge thank you to Amy for doing this favor for us. It was awesome.
Yep, we loaded her up with signed books. We tried to give her extra gas money. She was just the nicest. We loved her. We loved meeting her daughter.
Yep, and we said she is welcome to stay whenever she wants out at Cape Charles.
Yeah, so she was like first dibs on when something's available. I was like, done.
Yes. And if you guys want to see a picture of Amy and Sherry in the door when it arrived here in Richmond, we'll put that in the show notes at younghouselove.com/podcast.
And as someone described that photo, I want someone to look at me the same way Sherry looks at that door. It really is true love.
I want Sherry to look at me the way she looks at that door.
Sometimes I do. After you put product in your beard, yes. Sometimes I'm
I shape my beard into a diamond grill pattern.
I'm like, ooh, that beard is looking diamondy today.
It's going to have to get a little bit longer, I think. But anyways, we've got some we're digging. Sherry's digging something this week that we love so much. We bought not one, not two, not even three, but four of them. But first, we're going to take a quick break. So, you know that thing where you have a podcast and you record an ad for that podcast, and in doing so, you convince yourself to try that product? Well, it happened to me specifically with Grove Collaborative, who is this week's sponsor, and we did some ads for them earlier in the year about how they will deliver natural home or personal care products right to your door. So, like, you don't have to go to the store. You could even set up recurring deliveries so you never run out of your favorite toothpaste or toilet paper or whatever.
Right, because they've got all the big natural brands we love. You know, we use Dr. Bronner, Seventh Generation, Tom's of Maine, Burt's Bees Method.
Well, and they also have their own Grove Collaborative products. And that's actually what caught my eye, because the last ad we did for them back in February were for these dryer balls. One of their customers was telling us about them. And it really stuck with me, because as the laundry doer in our household, I kind of wanted to move past these like kind of rubber plastic dryer balls we've been using and move on to these natural wool ones.
Yeah, I guess they dry your clothes faster and they get rid of static. And they also, don't they like act as a fabric softener?
Yeah, they basically take the place of a chemical fabric softener. So like long after the ad was done, this was stuck in my brain. I decided to pull the trigger and order some. And they're great.
So what does everybody have to do? How do they get these dryer balls?
Sign up at grove.co/YHL. That's not .com, that's .co. And they will throw in a 2-month VIP membership, which means you get free shipping. Every month or two, they'll throw in a free gift. And on this first order, you'll get a free gift of a trio of Mrs. Meyer's cleaners. You even get to pick the scent.
Just go to grove.co/YHL. No code to enter. Just use that link and you'll get all the freebies we just talked about. Okay, so what I'm digging this week is actually inspired by something that we experienced at a very fancy hotel and we loved. A while back, John surprised me for my birthday and we stayed at the Quirk Hotel here in Richmond, which is a very swanky pink hotel. What's not to love?
Well, it's the one that we got the coffee cup from that inspired the beach house paint color on the outside.
Right. We have a lot of connections to this local hotel and we love it. And it was such a surprise to stay there. And one of the cutest, most charming things about the room is they have little pink sound machines in every room. And the reason that's important is this hotel is in a downtown corner of Richmond. There's traffic noise, there's elevator noises, you know, all the general hotel noise around you is drowned out by this really cute, compact, round pink sound machine.
Yes. And we looked up those sound machines because we thought it would be cute to have the same ones at the beach house. And I think they were over $100 each. And we were kind of like, nah, I don't need a fancy sound machine. I just need something that makes some amount of white noise.
Well, I was like, am I going to spend $90 more for the pink? Probably not. It can be white. So I did a lot of research. I found this little white one and I ordered one to test it out. It's called a Big Red Rooster, but they make a bunch of different ones. So I'll put the link in the show notes. It's on Amazon. It's always marked down to $15. It says it's $30. It's always $15 whenever I buy it.
Yes. And $15 is a much better price than $100.
Totally. And it plays six sounds. pounds. It's white. It's little. I ordered that one just to test it. We put it in the kids' bunk room. It's brilliant. It drowns out a lot of noises. And then we very quickly ordered three more. We put one in the front bedroom, one in the middle bedroom, and one in the back bedroom where we sleep. All six of the sounds are great. We picked an unlikely one as our favorite. It's crickets.
Well, it's called, I think, Summer Night, and it has some crickets chirping.
It's great, though. It drowns everything out. Like, not enough that we can't hear children if they're screaming for us, but enough if someone goes to the bathroom and comes back and slams a door or two, we don't hear it, which is good because I don't want to be awakened by all these like weird new house sounds that make me sit upright in a panic.
Yeah, I will say don't do the thunderstorm one. That's not my favorite because who needs to hear lightning while they're trying to sleep? Or I guess hear thunder, not lightning. You don't hear lightning.
Well, the kids love the ocean one, which I think is very appropriate because we're on the ocean. It's just kind of like the waves coming and going. So anyway, I'll put the link in the show notes at younghouselove.com/podcast. It's compact. It works well. It's inexpensive. I love it. We have four. I will probably get a whole bunch more for the duplex. Like, I'm about to buy over a dozen of these things.
And I figured since this is our 100th episode, I should dig another podcast. And specifically, I wanted to dig a podcast that comes from right here in Richmond. It's a fellow Richmond podcast, but it's very different than ours.
Very different.
Yes. This one is one we discovered recently, and it's called Southern Nightmare.
Adequately named.
Which you can tell by the name is very different than our podcast.
You know, we like dark, guys. It's dark.
Yes. This is a true crime podcast. You know, there's been lots of these out there lately. Like Atlanta Monster was one that was very popular recently. But the thing that has been especially interesting about Southern Nightmare to us is that it's about a crime that happened right here in Richmond. And it's being produced by a local newspaper here. It's still a very good quality podcast. But for us, like, we're hearing street names and neighborhoods and stuff that, like, we drive by.
Yeah, I keep going, I guess they'll say like a street we know.
Yeah, but the crime took place 30 years ago in the mid 80s. And I won't go into too many details here in case people are not into that sort of genre of things.
Right, or if there's kids listening, but it's creepy.
Yeah, it's about a serial killer that I guess terrorized the city for a little while. I did not know anything about this. So it's all new to me. And also, I guess it has an interesting thread to it. We haven't gotten there quite yet because there's only a few episodes out. I think there's going to be 10 in total. But I guess this is one of the first cases in the country to use DNA to capture the killer. So there's sort of a broader storyline about forensic investigations. I guess they also talk about profiling, kind of like if you saw the Netflix series Mindhunter, they reference that as well. So it's really good. Again, it is very kind of creepy and dark and sad. They do a really nice job of sort of profiling the victims. And so they sound like real humans and you really understand these people, which I think is a nice touch on these true crime podcasts because so often they kind of just like breeze by the people who were the victims.
And the other thing I really like about it is that knowing that there's this DNA thread that they catch the killer using DNA, I am very hopeful it's going to have a very satisfying ending because sometimes these podcasts are like, where is Richard Simmons? And I listen for 10 weeks and they're like, he's around. Like, I need more of a tied up in a bow ending. I need closure. And I feel like that is coming for this podcast. And I appreciate that.
I like how you just tied this true crime podcast to the Richard Simmons podcast.
I mean, anyone else out there listen to that and be like, merp, merp. Thanks for listening to Young House Love Has a Podcast.
And whether you've listened to one or all 100 of the episodes, we'd really love if you took a moment to leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. Just think of it as your anniversary present to us. You don't have to wrap it or give us a gift receipt or anything. Just find us in your podcast library and scroll down till you see the stars. It only takes one tap.
And keep telling us what you do while you listen. Like Kelly on Twitter, who listened while she was in labor with her firstborn.
I feel like we get a lot of people in labor.
I mean, you just got to get that baby out in the world. Maybe you need to listen to a podcast or two.
It takes time. It
takes like a whole bunch of podcasts, I think.
And don't forget to check out younghouselove.com/podcast for all the bonus links and photos from this episode, like the picture of everything quarantined in our bonus room during the lice outbreak.
And some of those crazy front doors that you can buy these days. They are the worst.
Later.
Bye.
Sometimes I'm sad we don't have more time to play the music clips.
The only music clip that's worth playing the long version of is the Can We Just Talk About.
Can I play it, like, in honor of the anniversary, the 100 episodes?
I mean, I will jam to that song anytime. You can play it on a loop for me.
Okay, so Can We Just Talk About Music, full track coming up right now.
Guys, shake it, but don't break it. Do you think this needs a vocal track?
No, it doesn't.
Young House Love, yo, we got a podcast, and you're listening to it right now, I guess. You're hearing me in your ear right now. I kind of sound like Weird Al.
Wow, this is off the cuff, and I think it's pretty good. But John's looking at me like it isn't very good, so I hope that you like it. Thanks for listening. We love you, and we'll talk to you next week and for Monday. That's the end of my jam.
Nowhere did you say, can we just talk about?
Oh, this is just a general theme song for Young Hustle. You know it's my favorite song. Thank you, guys. We love you. Share dog, dropping the mic.
John dog turning off the mic.